We're going to pray. Father, just thank you for each and every one that's here tonight. I pray, Father, that you would, Father, that we would just grow as leaders and be all that you have called us to be, reach our potential. I believe, Lord, that this word tonight will help us to get there. I pray, Father, that you would just help me tonight to speak your word and help us to hear, Lord, what you're saying to us, that we might walk in this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you once again how much we need leaders in our world. You know, one of the first principles of leadership is that you have to be an example. It always has to be that you yourself are leading. That's why it's called leadership. You got to lead others where you want them to go. It's never do as I say, not as I do. There's been a lot of people that have tried that with their kids. It doesn't work. No, you have to be an example, and we talk a lot about integrity and character. In fact, last month, the leadership message, we talked about that and talking about Jesus as the good shepherd, that if we are going to be leaders like Jesus, then we have to have good character. We have to have integrity. And I want to say, you can't just talk the talk. You got to walk the walk. And we lead by example in the way we live our life and the things that we do. But make no mistake about this. Your words are very important. In fact, much of our leadership and influence in the lives of others is going to be done through what we say. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you know, some of the scriptures, the principles that I'm sharing with you tonight, well, they're just things that every Christian ought to live by. But I want you to see that as a leader, they're especially important. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. Now, I'm aware that a lot of talk is just that, talk. But I'm also aware that Jesus said that we will give an account for every idle word. But as leaders, if you want to influence anybody, I'm telling you, your words are very powerful. There's life and death in your words. You know, people try to act like words don't really matter. They don't mean sting of But we've all felt the sting of unkind words. And no matter how bad your memory might be, you can probably remember some hurtful things that have been said to you. I know I can. I can recall things that were said to me 25 years ago, and though I have long since forgiven it, I still have the memory of it. And I want to tell you something. Most of the time, those things were something that was spoken by somebody in authority or leadership. When you have a position or a place of leadership in somebody else's life, oh, the power. Words can just do so much harm, or they can do so much good. You know, by your words as a leader, you can inspire people. You can inspire people to greatness. You can bring out the best in people. Carmen and I youth pastored for many years, and we had the opportunity to see a lot of young people who had gifts, and with just a little encouragement, those gifts blossomed. I'm just telling you that your words have a lot of power as a leader. There was, I like this story, there's a little girl named Cheryl Pruitt. When she was 4 years old, she hung around her father's country grocery store, and almost every day the milkman would come to the store and he would greet her with the words, "How's my little Miss America?" Well, at first she just kind of giggled, but eventually she got comfortable with it and even got to where she liked it. Well, in 1980, she stood on the stage in Atlantic City and was crowned Miss America. Not a coincidence. There was a vision. There was an inspiration that was imparted to a little four-year-old girl. You say, really? Really, Pastor? Yes, really. I'm just telling you, your words as a leader can be very powerful. You say, well, I'm not a leader to anybody. Leadership is influence. The milkman wasn't a leader to the little girl. Well, yes, he was. Because of his words, he got her started thinking. He got her started down a path that she never would have gone down. Now, just think about that. You might not hold a position of leadership, but you could lead somebody to start down a path towards greatness. See, our words have great impact on others, but especially when we're a leader. A leader's words are loaded. Leadership is influence, and that means that your words carry a greater weight. James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Well, we don't have any perfect people here, do we? Well, it's not really talking about without flaw, but he's talking about someone being mature in their walk with the Lord and in their character. He's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. But James is really talking about teachers here, and we're going to come back to this verse one at least one more time later. He's talking about teachers in the body of Christ because they have so much influence. But I want you to understand that if you are a parent, an employer, a teacher, a coach, if you're discipling someone, if you're helping somebody along their way in their faith, you have great influence. And with that influence, he makes it very clear here, there is a great responsibility. That's why he says, let not many of you become teachers. You see, because the greater the influence, the greater the platform. See, if you're a teacher, you have greater influence. You have a greater platform. And with that comes great responsibility. I'm telling you that if you are a parent, you have a great responsibility. Because you have a tremendous influence into some people's lives. Realize that if you're a leader to anyone, your words have power. If someone who has no influence in your life mouths off to you, well, I just said they have no influence, right? So I would hope that you just kind of take it with a grain of salt and you don't listen to them. But when someone that is in authority or that we look up to for leadership speaks to us, it has an impact on us. See, the words of a parent can last for a lifetime. Your words are powerful to those that you influence spiritually. the words of a coach, the words of a teacher, the words of an employer. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." See, it can be used either way. In the NIV, it says it this way, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Reckless. You know, it doesn't have to be intentional. A lot of the times, the hurt that's done isn't because we intended to hurt somebody, but it's just because of reckless words. We didn't think about what we were saying. We say stupid, foolish things, and we can wound someone or hurt someone. I can't tell you how many times I've had to apologize to someone for what I said. In fact, I have a little bit of a problem with cutting up and teasing with people, and some of you don't know that because you don't know me very well, but the problem with that is that sometimes I'm reckless. Sometimes in my teasing, I don't realize where I've hurt somebody until after the fact. But I'm just telling you that we all, because of influence, whatever influence we have that potential to hurt somebody. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bone." So I want to encourage you to use your influence through your words to bring healing. There's a lot of wounded people out there. You want to influence some people? Well, use your words to bring healing. You'll find some people following you. You'll find some people looking to you for answers. I want to share this. I've shared it before, but I just think it really illustrates this point well tonight. There's an author, Mary Ann Bird, who shared a personal story in the Whisper Test. She wrote, "I grew up knowing I was different. I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others, a little girl with a misshapen lip and crooked nose and lopsided teeth and garbled speech. When my classmates asked, 'What happened to your lip?' I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass, and somehow it seemed to make it more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade that we all adored, Mrs. Leonard. She was short, round, happy, a sparkling lady. Annually, we got a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and it was finally my turn. And I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back, things like, 'The sky is blue. Do you have new shoes?' I waited for those words that God must have put into her mouth. They were seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, 'I wish you were my little girl.'" Seven little words, and she said, "It changed my life." Do you realize that you could say seven words to a little kid, change their life? Maybe a teenager, maybe another adult, maybe a senior adult in their last years. I'm telling you, your words can have such power. Next, Leaders teach. James 3:1 again, my brethren, let not many become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You're saying, I'm not a teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to have stricter judgment. And I'm going to acknowledge again, I know he's talking about teachers in the body of Christ, and some of you are, by the way, whether it's in a children's class or as a growth group leader or some other venue or avenue, but a lot of you are teachers in the body of Christ. But I want you to understand that anybody that you're really influencing for God, anybody you're really leading, if you're helping somebody to get closer to the Lord, I can assure you, you're teaching. All of you parents, you're teaching, whether you want to be or not. I mean, even if you just totally abdicate away all your responsibility as a parent, well, you taught something through that. You can't help but teach others whom you have influence over. Daniel Webster wrote, from the time I was at my mother's feet or on my father's knee, I first learned to say verses from the sacred writings. They have been my daily study. If there be anything in my style or thoughts to be commended, the credit is due to my kind parents for instilling into my mind an early love of the scriptures. They taught him to love God's word. And I'm telling you, you're teaching those that you lead. See, if you say to your children, and I know I got the wrong crowd here for this, but if you say to your children, we don't need to go to church every week, you're teaching your children. If you say to your children, it's important, we always give God the first fruits of our increase, the tithe belongs to the Lord, you're teaching your children. I'm just telling you that when you're talking to your kids about always telling the truth, see, when you're telling your kids what it means to have a good work ethic and to work as unto the Lord, you're teaching your children. Leaders teach. It's the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Doing what? Teaching them. You see, if you're going to disciple anybody, if you're going to help somebody in their walk with Christ, listen, you're teaching them. You better be teaching them this. To observe all the things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm just telling you, if you're not teaching whoever you have influence over, if you're not teaching them what Jesus taught, you're leading them in the wrong way. You got to be teaching them what Jesus taught. A leader's words impart faith or fear. We all know the story of the children of Israel when God had promised to them a promised land. For hundreds of years, they had this promise. And when they came to the opportunity to enter into that promised land, well, they sent 12 spies into the land to check it out. And they were not sent there to see whether or not they would go in. They were sent there to see how they would go in. But when they came back, there were 10 spies that gave a bad report. And I want to read it from Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 27. And they told them and said, we went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. That much was true. All those things were pretty much true. It wasn't encouraging, it wasn't faith building, but at least it was somewhat true. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." And that was absolutely true, because God had promised it to them. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants." That's a lie. "And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." That's not true either. "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight." We were like bugs. We're just bugs waiting to be squashed. A bad report. These 12 men were chosen as leaders, one from each tribe of Israel. 10 of them gave a fearful report that kept the people from going into the promised land and receiving what God had for them. And I'm telling you that whether it is a preacher, whether it is a mom and a dad in their home, whether it is a teacher in the body of Christ, or it is just a brother or sister in Christ who's speaking to another brother or sister in Christ, we need to speak words of faith. There's so much doubt and fear all around us every day. I mean, it's just constant, constant, constant. But we should always speak what God's word says. We should always be the people of faith. And if you're going to lead people in the right direction, you need to be speaking faith. God does not work through doubt and fear and unbelief. He works through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If you're not in faith, you're not pleasing God. In fact, Romans 14 says, whatever's not of faith, you need to always speak words of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We also believed and therefore speak." See, if you can't speak words of faith, if all you've got is negative doubt and fear, well, do those under your leadership, do those who you might influence a favor and keep your mouth shut. Carmen's fight of faith and believing for healing, so much of the time, we didn't discuss any of the details with most people because we knew that we would have to listen to negative, unbelieving remarks. You see, and it shouldn't be that way in the body of Christ. It ought to be that we are all encouraging one another's faith. But realize this, that as a leader, just like the 10 that gave a bad report, anybody that you influence, you see, when you speak those negative words, you may keep them back from obeying God and receiving the blessings that God has for them. Wow. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification." In other words, to build others up, not to tear people down, but only to build up. You see, you as a leader, you have the ability to encourage or discourage. You know, the English word encourage is two words stuck together. Encourage. You put courage into people, or you can discourage. You can take away courage. And how do you do that? By the words of your mouth. leaders should speak with authority. Mark 1:22 says, "And they were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." It's talking about Jesus. He had authority. Well, you can imagine, right? I mean, he's the Son of God. He spoke with authority. If you are wishy-washy and don't know which end is up, you can't lead.
"Well, I don't know what we're going to do. What do y'all think?" "Well, I'm not sure, but I'm just..."
That's not leading. Now, I want to tell you what's worse than that. Is you don't know, but you're pretending like you know. That's worse. I'm not talking about some phony confidence. That's not how you speak with authority. And I want you to remember the comparison that the people made. He speaks with authority, not like the scribes. The scribes were the ones who knew the scripture. But they didn't speak with authority like Jesus did. I want to remind you of the verse we read just a minute ago. We also believe and therefore speak. You see, we can speak with conviction because we believe. I'm not a gifted speaker at all in the worldly sense. I don't have the natural gifts to speak. And I know that it is only the Lord that uses me. But I know this, that is part of that, that when I speak, I have to believe that I have something to say from the Lord. If I don't know that, I can't say it with conviction. And what I'm saying to you is that as a leader, we need to speak with authority. In other words, we don't just talk when we don't have something to say. In fact, here's how you can water down your words where they have no authority. Just talk a lot. And then when you really do have something to say, nobody's going to listen. It's like crying wolf. You've been talking all the time and weren't saying anything. Now, if you want your words to have authority, you know, it's hard for leaders because a lot of times as leaders, we, you know, it just kind of seems to go with the territory. I mean, we could have put a point in here that leaders are talkers because leaders just seem to talk a lot. But I'm telling you as a leader, if you're going to speak with authority, that means you don't speak when you don't know what you're talking about. When you don't have something really to say, well, keep your mouth shut. And then when you do speak, you're speaking with authority. You're speaking what the Lord wants you to. See, how can we speak with authority? When you speak God's word, that's with authority. Listen, he backs up his word. That's authority. Now, I want to clarify, because there are a lot of people that can quote the Bible. Remember, the scribes could quote the Bible. They could quote the scriptures, but they had no authority because they used and abused it to their own ends. It wasn't God speaking. It was just them abusing the scripture. Like the guy I knew many years ago in a church board meeting. We had two youth pastors at the church at that time, and there were some people, one of the board members and some people in this meeting were wanting to get the other guy fired. And there was a big argument, and they were talking about this, and I won't go into all the details of how it all came out and what it was about, but the guy hadn't done anything wrong. But one of these people that was involved, he stood up and he took his Bible and he said, "I can cut you up with the word of God." And I'm telling you, there are a lot of mean religious people in this world. There's a lot of weird, twisted religious people in this world who know what the Bible says, but they don't speak with authority. The only way you can speak with authority is when you're saying what God wants you to. Well, that's the way Jesus did it. To be under authority. Matthew 8:8-9. A centurion comes to Jesus and he says, My servant is ill. Would you heal him? And Jesus said, yes, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion says this. He says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. Under authority. I also. See, he recognized that Jesus was under authority. He says, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And if I say, go, he goes. And to another, come, he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. You see, Jesus was under authority. He was under the Father's authority. And that was the source of his authority. John 8:28-30. Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things which please him. And as he spoke those words, many believed in him. Now listen to this. He says, as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And you need to understand, you see, if we're just given our opinion, it's just, well, you know what opinions are worth, right? 2 cents. But when we're saying what our Father taught us, then there's authority. And I'll tell you, it says many believed in him. One more passage about this. John 7:16-18. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. We're talking about speaking with authority. You see, Jesus says, I'm not speaking on my own. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. How do you speak with authority? Well, you do the best you can to speak what the Lord would have you to. That's where the authority comes from. I'm not talking about self-confidence. I'm talking about being under authority. That's where your authority comes from. Leaders must choose their words wisely. It's amazing how we can talk without engaging the brain. James 1:19 says, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Swift to hear, be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Slow to speak. What's that mean? It means think before you speak. Consider the results of your words before you say them. Many people that think of themselves as spiritual, yet they don't give heed to the scripture that says in James 1:26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart and his religion is useless. You got to bridle your tongue. As a leader, it is so important that you bridle it, that you get control of it. Another translation says, if he doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue, gotta watch your words. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. I want to tell you, there are a lot of people that have lost their influence because of things they said. There are people that are not in ministry because they mouthed off. Heard a preacher one time, he told me himself, he said, and these people in my church said this and they said that, And so I got in the pulpit and I told them to meet me out back. There's a lot of parents that have no influence in their children's lives, and it's in large part because of things that they said to their kids. I'm just telling you, as a leader, you got to get control of your mouth and choose your words wisely, because you can just absolutely throw away whatever influence you have. I'm sorry for going over on your birthday. I think the worship just went long. I want to tell a story. So when I had been a youth pastor for a few years, well, 6 or 7 or 8, we used to take all of the kids home when the church was in Fort Worth, because they were so spread out, and it was the way that we could get more kids to come, because the parents didn't have to come back. A lot of them lived 30 minutes away. Anyway, and so one night, though, one of the older kids that had been with us for 6, 7, 8 years, I was dividing them up. The youth group had grown so much, and we just would divide them up and try to, you know, get them home as quickly as we could by using all of our leaders to take kids home. And she said to me, I was real tired, all right? We had Sunday morning service. The first service was at 8 o'clock, and Carmen and I led worship in that service. Then we taught Sunday school. Then we had the second service. Then we played ball with the teenagers. And then we had worship practice and choir practice and Sunday night church and the youth fellowship. So I was tired, and that sounds like a pretty good excuse, but I'm telling you, when you're tired, you better watch your mouth. And so this young lady says to me, and the mouth engaged before the brain, and I said, I used to drink beer, and you used to wear a size 5. What's that got to do with anything? Now, she was a good friend, and we're still friends to this day. Probably only because she actually wore like a size 3, so I got away with that. But I'm just telling you, when you're tired or you're upset or you're a leader, bite your tongue. I'm telling you the story where I was shown grace. But there's been lots of times when it didn't work out so great. And all of us have had those times. And I'm just telling you, if you're a leader, watch your words. Proverbs 17:28, in the NIV, it says it this way: even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. So, as a leader, don't be afraid to hold your tongue and just be quiet until you really have something to say. If you want to improve your leadership ability, take control of your words. Now, you can't do it on your own. The Bible says the tongue no man can tame, but you can with the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll do that, I'm telling you, you will improve, you will grow, you'll rise to another level in your leadership potential. Well, stand with me, and I'm going to dismiss you. Father, I just pray over this body, over these people, Lord, that each of them, Lord, will just lead by their words. Father, may we use our influence for your glory and honor and the good of others. In Jesus' name, amen.